I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you because you are...
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, dear listeners, my very dear sisters. Welcome to Muslim Lady. The month of Muharram is already there, so I offer my condolences to every single one of you, and of course Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, in order to broaden your insight. So today, since it is Muharram, we are going to have some discussion upon the women who participated in this story that created Muharram, actually. This is Asma, your humble host, and here with me I have my very dear sister, Sister Sadiqa. Assalamu alaikum, sister, and welcome to Muslim Lady.
Wa alaikum salam, and thank you so much for having me. It's an absolute pleasure to be here.
Of course, same in here. Okay, dear ladies, today we are going to talk about the role of women in the battlefield of Karbala and in the journey of Imam Hussein alayhi salam in his way to teach us the truth of Islam that has been so much deviated from its true path. And also, we are going to look at the very comparison between the mother and the daughter and what they shared and contributed to the improvement, or just let's say to help the imam of their time. So, sister, let's start with the role of Lady Zainab in the journey of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. So in the previous session, we talked a lot about the fact that women were carried with Imam in order to be the witness of this incident, of this great event that happened in the history of Islam, and also in order for them to be the narrator of this history. And then we got to the point that Lady Zainab in Damascus, she had some lectures and sermons that affected many people and enlightened them as well, and actually led to the downfall of Bani Umayyah. Now, shall we just continue on that point?
So Lady Zainab, as we know, is the daughter of Imam Ali and Hazrat Fatima, and she's also the sister of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Mm-hmm. So Lady Zainab alayhi salam, from a very young age, she saw what her mother Hazrat Fatima had to do to protect the wilayah of Imam Ali alayhi salam,
or
in other terms, the imamate of Imam Ali alayhi salam. So according to history, there was an oath of allegiance that was taken on the day of Ghadir. But then as soon as the Prophet died, there were a few individuals who took the caliphate and they denied Imam Ali alayhi salam the caliphate.
Yeah.
So Hazrat Fatima alayhi salam, in that instance, she drew on all the political situation of the time, and she goes into the court of the caliph at that time, which was the masjid, which was the mosque.
Yeah.
Right? The mosque of the Prophet was a place where all the important matters used to take place. Now, according to one of the authors, I believe his name is Shahid Baqir al-Sadr. He's written a very interesting book looking into this specific event.
Who actually was an Islamic scholar.
He's an Islamic scholar, and he's not Shahid because he was killed in a very brutal manner because of his Islamic views.
Yeah.
And he was killed by Saddam Hussein, I believe.
Yes, and he was a very important figure.
Very important figure who's written many, many great books that are still studied. So when he looks at this event, he says Hazrat Fatima walked, her house was actually connected to the mosque.
Yeah.
Her door was open into the mosque.
The Prophet made it that way.
Yes, according to the verse of the Quran.
Yes, according
But what she does is that day, she doesn't go from her house into the mosque. She takes another route. She walks out from the other door into the main road and then enters from another mosque to collect attention of the people. She doesn't go alone. She goes with a group of women who protect her.
Thank you.
Okay, dear audience, welcome back to Muslim Lady. We're talking about the whole story of Karbala and the role of women in participating in this battlefield.
She goes into the court in front of the caliph and delivers a whole sermon. And it's a very long sermon. It's
a great message, actually.
Exactly. It's a very long sermon that looks at the different Islamic principles. But when we come to the crux of it, she draws on the political time. She talks to them about how her husband had been chosen and what different services he had given to Islam, because these people had drawn on the caliphate on the basis that they had migrated with the Prophet. Therefore, they were very close to the Prophet. Therefore, they deserved to be Prophet.
Yeah.
Therefore, they deserved to have caliphate. So drawing on that same argument of theirs, she says, well, my husband has more virtues, right? Mm-hmm. Now, apart from this sermon only, she had other roles as well in advancing the imamate of Imam Ali alayhi salam.
Yes.
So we know that in the night for 40 days...
And actually in shedding light on the truth.
Exactly. So we know that, according to history, we know that up to 40 days she went to the houses of the companions with her husband and her two sons and asked them, did you not give the oath of allegiance on the day of Ghadir? Why have you turned back? And these people, like we mentioned, the people of Kufa, there's a similarity. They deny it. They say, if you would have come to us before the other caliph, we would have given you the oath of allegiance, but we've already given it to someone else. So they're turning back on the oath of allegiance. Now we compare it to Kufa. They write letters to Imam Hussein, and then they turn back and say, but we didn't write any letters to you. What are you saying?
Yeah.
Right? So understanding the political circumstance was so important. You see, women are often understood as people who have to have household chores, take care of children. Yes, please do take care of your child. The child needs to be nurtured by you. But don't forget that you need to understand, because when it comes to the imam, there is no man and woman.
Exactly, yes.
You have an equal role in defending the imam. You might not need to go to the battlefield, but if it comes to supporting him with your tongue and your work, you have to do it.
And maybe they could even enlighten their husbands.
Exactly. And this is what Hazrat Fatima did. This was a very good point you mentioned. When she was on her deathbed, the women of Medina come to her and she delivers another sermon to them, explaining to them that what their husbands have done is wrong. It's a very nice sermon. Everything is available. There's actually a book that's been translated into English, Lady Fatima from Cradle to Grave, available in English. It's been translated by Sheikh Tahir Ridha Jafar as well. So if anyone wants to Google it, it's available in PDF. I have checked it as well. And it has all these sermons inside it.
Thank you for sharing that.
So she talks to these women. Now, these women were not aware of the political circumstances. So when they hear the sermon of Hazrat Fatima, they go back and they beat their husbands up over it. Why did you leave the daughter of the Prophet?
Yeah.
So the role of the woman here. Now let's go to Karbala.
Exactly.
Hazrat Zainab, she's seen everything, right? She's seen how her mother has been able. So there's a book that's written by...
As the mother is the daughter.
The daughter. She continues what her mother started in defending imamate.
Yeah, and she finishes that.
She finishes it. Now there's a book written by Anita Rai.
Yeah.
She's an author. She's written many novels, but towards the last few years that I have been following her, she's written a lot of historical books about the life of the Prophet. But there is one book that she's written, The Essential Woman, that compares Hazrat Zainab and Hazrat Fatima.
Mm-hmm.
And here she tries to compare the role of these two great women and how they complement each other, and how the daughter took on a lot from the mother in defending imamate. Like when Hazrat Fatima was in the mosque defending the imamate of Imam Ali alayhi salam, she proves to them, and in the other historical instances, like going to the houses of the companions and asking them why they withdrew the oath of allegiance from Imam Ali alayhi salam, thus invalidating the caliphate that had taken seat.
Yeah.
Hazrat Zainab goes into the court of Yazid and she refers to him as Tulaqa. And she tells them, Antum Tulaqa, you are those people who were freed by my grandfather and you have no right to his seat in caliphate.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
go back to history, in the when the conquest of Mecca happened, those who did not accept Islam up till that day, they were, in other terms, freed by the Prophet. They were told that they will not, their blood will not be shed. They're free to live by the Muslims. Yeah. They accepted Islam because the Prophet was the Caliph at the time. He did have governorship over that time. It was agreed that these people who were freed on the day of the conquest of Mecca would not be allowed to take caliphate ever. One of those who was freed was Muawiyah, the father of Yazid. Yeah. Muawiyah still did go on to take on caliphate, but Yazid did go as
and
well.
And she makes that clear for
she
people.
She makes it very clear for the people over there that you have no right, Yazid, you have no right to take the seat because you are those people who were freed by my grandfather. Yeah. And by the law that we had established and everyone had agreed to, your caliphate is invalid. Mm-hmm. Based on what has happened in the past, because you exactly. people are the ones who fought against the Muslims while you're now residing over the Muslims. Mm-hmm. How does that make sense?
So now we can see that as a woman, she becomes the leader of this journey.
Exactly.
She starts to lead everyone, to be the one who brings enlightenment to people's head.
Yes. Then when we see how Hazrat Fatima defended Imam Ali alayhi salam, we know that the door was struck on her. We know that she was whipped when she was holding onto his cloth when they were trying to drag him away. Now we go to Karbala. Imam Hussein is in his last breaths. He's in the state of sajda. Shimar is there. He's going to kill him. Hazrat Zainab runs out of her tent. And she addresses one of the army leaders. I believe his name was Ubaidullah. And he actually did not want to come to the war. Yeah. He had tried ways to find, but it was his love for wealth and his love for leadership that brought him there. And she tells him, are you going to stand there while the son of the Prophet is being killed?
That's very sorrowful.
And she goes over there and she tries to protect him. And they whip her before Imam Hussein realizes, because, you know, he's in his last breath. He has not had water. He's very... According to some, he's moving in and out of consciousness, according to some. And that she goes to try and defend him. And when he regains consciousness, he tells us to go back. So Hazrat Fatima in Medina was defending Imam Ali. Hazrat Zainab seen the role of her mother in Medina.
Yeah.
And she assumes the same role when it goes to defending the Imam of her time. And we see throughout her journey from Karbala to Damascus and back to Medina, she was defending the next Imam. And inshallah, that can be discussed at a later.
Yeah, and also we saw that the role of a mother in Islamic heritage is that she would nurture kids like her.
Exactly.
So that they would lead the entire journey.
And this is what Hazrat Fatima did perfectly
exactly.
well.
Exactly, yeah. Thank you, sister. We used all the information you shared with us. Thank you for that. And thank you for mentioning the name of the books. And thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us. Until another session, I bid you farewell.
Who is the lover? Allah. Who is Ar-Rahman? Allah. Who is Al-Mannan?
La ilaha illallah. Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger. To Allah is our return.
The Quran, given by God to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, more than 1400 years ago, as guidance for humanity.
La ilaha illallah. Muhammadur Rasulullah.
Quran speaks about women.
The Quran teaches the equality of men and women in the eyes of Allah.
Chapter 33, verse 35.
All praise is due to the one and only. He is the master of all creation.
Modesty and chastity are encouraged by the Quran, both for women and for men.
Chapter 24, verses 30 and 31.
He is the sustainer and the maintainer of the whole universe.
God created us from one male and one female and made us into nations and tribes so that we make to know one another, not to despise each other.
Chapter 49, verse 13.
La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, Muhammad is the messenger, to Allah is our return.
the Quran has indicated worthy women in history just as it has mentioned such men and has commended them greatly.
Chapter 3, verse 37.